Hello students, this lecture I am focusing on GLP. GLP, this topic is included in subject pharmaceutical analysis of B.Pharm third year students, unit 1. GLP or good laboratory practices. It was in existence for non-clinical safety studies since 1976. And after that, it progressed through various transitional phases to become guidelines in some countries and regulatory authority instruments in others. The current document in the Organizations for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD, Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, principles of GLP, and is currently accepted in the industry standards. This was reviewed and published in January 1997. But must be used in conjunction with the appropriate scientific guidelines for the scientific side of the study, that is OECD toxicological guidelines. This sets out to cover all non-clinical safety studies and gives guidance to us as to how these studies should be conducted in conjunction with the appropriate regulatory toxicology guidelines, and on that basis when encompassed in the various directives of the European Union or other countries. The guidelines themselves, with the exemption of those in countries where they are featured as regulations, are, as stated, guidelines to the conduct of the study and aim to cover compliance with the GLP principle, but in no way do they dictate how the science will be performed. Now, objective. The general objective of the guidelines originates in the very early 1970s, when one pharmaceutical company in particular and a contract research organization, CRO, generated data that, when submitted to the FDA, gave them cause for concern in the accuracy of the data presented and, in certain instances, the honesty of the submission. At that time, a full review of companies and institutions conducting non-clinical safety studies or toxicological studies was undertaken by the authorities, and the industry was found to be credible. One company was found to be generating extremely poor quality data in many instances, and that can be considered as fraud. Objective of the GLP is to ensure that a standard approach is undertaken covering traceability and accountability, and while still allowing freedom for the scientists to impose certain restrictions on the generation of data and experimental. It must be remembered that GLP is merely common sense, is a formal environment. The key phrases that are currently seen in a GLP environment include good documentation, good training, maintenance and calibration of all equipment, and archiving and storing of data in a formal and retrievable manner, and the use of high quality validation equipment and accredited test systems, that is animals. This in general is a good science, and the GLPs have further enhanced this by the addition of an independent quality assurance unit and a study director or principal investigator who jointly controls and oversees the project and involves the management in putting together adequate resources and assuming overall responsibility for the study. Now, to whom it is useful? Any company or institution performing non-clinical safety studies for the submission of data for a new chemical entity, a new biological, immunological, pesticide, veterinary or agrochemical product, or for that matter a similar product that will eventually appear in the marketplace and be consumed by the general public, must adhere to GLP in the conduct of their non-clinical safety study experimentation. Within a company, every person from senior management to the junior technician is bound by these GLPs and must exhibit clear understanding and training in these practices. In general terms, for companies conducting non-clinical safety studies, it is a regulatory requirement, and without this certificate or certification of compliance, data will generally not be accepted by the regulatory authorities. However, one should be sure on the process of obtaining or working to GLP with the sole aim in mind. It should be used as an ongoing improving and quality standard for the laboratory. Normally, it has been found many companies have gone far beyond the requirement of GLP compliance, and that the overall concept of good scientific design and good science has been superseded by the desire merely to obtain compliance. It is quite often seen that an extremely poor quality scientific study has been conducted in complete compliance with the GLP. Certainly, data with GLP compliance statement are being accepted more readily by the receiving authorities, which have led to fewer repeated studies. This in turn is helping to achieve the aim of all scientists to in reducing the use of animals. Now, what is the procedure? In the OECD countries, for at least 14 years, an inspector has been set up, an office of inspector has been set up, varying in inspector numbers from several hundred in the one or two in countries not conducting a great deal of scientific non-clinical research. All countries, however, have a regulatory group that in some instances also act as the receiving authority for the review of data and reports to the GLP monitoring authority. This regulatory group visit on a two-year basis, and in some other countries it can vary. For example, in Germany it is a four-year basis. Those companies that have claimed compliance and will then be on a rolling program of review. Many very minor points of compliance have been seen, which when addressed in writing by the management in a one-month period with supportive paperwork, etc., lead to the company being given a statement of compliance, a certificate of compliance, or an indication that the laboratory is in compliance. It depends on the specific country whether a certificate of compliance is given. If a certificate is given, it generally states it on a particular day that the inspection took place, the laboratory was found to be in compliance with the OECD principles. So, we can say that GLP is a series of guidelines that cover the conduct and data production for non-clinical safety studies. The OECD covers a series of activities and personal responsibilities, training, quality assurance, standard operating procedures, study plans and study reports, data production and recording, equipment maintenance and calibration, computers and validation, test systems and test substances, and archiving are the primary areas covered by the GLP. Now, how it should be maintained in a facility or in an organization? Compliance, having been granted after an inspection, should be maintained on a daily basis. However, it is the author's my opinion that many companies' standards of compliance relax after the initial certificate has been granted, only to find out 2 years later, for example, an enormous rush 1 month before an announced inspection is required to generate the appropriate documentation and to update the system. It is suggested that QC reviews be carried out on a regular basis to ensure that points likely to detract from the overall compliance are reviewed regularly, and that project manager be held where QA is invited to give a precise of the regular points seen during audit so that these can be addressed and rationalized. Training and retraining, along with an awareness of the requirement to comply with GLP, are of immense importance. Now, the advantages and disadvantage. A pitfall could be seen as a restriction on the scientist against performing free research. It could also be seen as an intrusion by an independent body looking at why problems occur and at the sort of problems that occur and carrying out regular reviews with senior management about these problems. Cost will increase because of time pressure and the necessity of involving third-party reviews. Recording of data will now be subject to more QC, more required approval, extra cost, and generally more data presented. Time must be taken to write and review SOPs. This in itself can be very costly exercise, and we can say that having spent more than 6 months writing its SOPs, class them as capital pieces of equipment, put a value, put a high value